I think it's useful to ask, why did nobody question Jesus after this exchange with this lawyer type? Think about it. It's an interesting thought question. I think because they saw that this was so eminently, preeminently clear and true, that they didn't have anything else to say. On the other hand, they were brought up, like many of us in the Roman church, with massive structures of law and order. To be a good Jew was to observe all the laws, the 713 precepts of the law that the Pharisees had worked out in the 2nd century B.C. You know, I've been thinking, this text is enormously powerful to me, maybe in my advanced age, it's more important. Because this is absolutely central, it is pivotal, the whole bloody business is supposed to hang from this. And yet when I think of 8.5 years in 3 seminaries, 7 years in grade school taught by nuns, I didn't hear any of this. Literally, I did not hear any of this. So if you wonder why so many priests are so weird, it's because they have this same distorted idea of what being religious is. There are several people from this community who have since left because they saw that this was true, and they saw, on the other hand, what the church was promoting. The official church was promoting. And it's impossible to avoid that. The priests are taught that, the nuns are taught that, they distill all that rubbish and pour it in these poor kids' heads, or semi-adult in the seminary, their heads. I never heard the word mercy, ever. On the other hand, I heard the word obedience multiple times, every day. You could not miss it. You left the refectory, you went to the chapel for a couple minutes of visit, and then the rector of the house of philosophy, theology, the deacon house, would be standing by the door outside the chapel. And you reported yourself on all these little infractions of the rule. You never said, Father Fitzgerald, I was unloving to my classmates. He wouldn't know what you were talking about, I'm afraid. Charles Meyer in the Theologate wouldn't know either. They were sticklers for the law in its broadest, most inclusive, and most obnoxious sense. This was not the law for them. And I'm not being hysterical. Think about all the priests you have known, the nuns you have known. And out of that number, pick the ones who really believe that the love of God and the love of neighbor, which is equivalent to the love of God, were foremost in their minds. I can't. The pastors I worked under, the pastors who brought me up, so to speak, they're all good men of law and order. And that's why Francis is a miracle. Mercy, mercy, mercy. We have a year of mercy. See, that's always interesting. Now we have to have a year of mercy. Then the rest of the year, we have the year of tithing, the year of giving enough money, the year of being obedient to the fasting laws, or the year of rubbish. And it distresses me greatly when I hear people who used to be part of this community saying, well, I can't stand it anymore. Religion is destructive. That's been said to me more than once by people who have left us. And they're right. And they're right. They really are right. And we try to hang in by our fingernails, trying to salvage some of this original insight of Jesus, trying to embody it in our lives, but we don't hear it very much. Bishops are appointed not because of their piety, certainly not because of their knowledge. I can guarantee that. But because of their obedience. And that's the brutal truth, you know? And it is brutal. And I'm not just angry, because I'm about to pass from the scene anyway, so it's not going to make much difference what I say or do. But look at the guys coming out of seminary now. St. Peter's. They insist on wearing the Beretta, for God's sake. I haven't worn a Beretta in 50 years. Those little funny hats with the corners and the tassel in the middle. You know, they're cute in a sort of sick way. They walk around in cassocks on St. Peter's Seminary grounds. Think about that. And if you think I'm making this up, then you're simply not paying attention. I would love to go from church to church in London, Ontario on this night and hear them commenting on this passage from Mark. And it pervades the gospel. It's there every place. What's Jesus' favorite name for the lawyers? Hypocrites! They strain the gnat and swallow the camel. You know? Hypocrites. And it's implicit in all kinds of the parables. The Good Samaritan, one of the great, great, great parables. So here's this beat up guy lying on the road. Who passes him by? A priest. Because it will defile you if you touch what seems to be a corpse, so you cannot do your priestly duties. A Levite. Who are those guys? They're like altar boys. Working under the same regimen as the priests do. And there you have a bozo near pagan. A Samaritan, for God's sake. He said, did you sign up for the law? No, he didn't think about that. He simply went and addressed this poor man's wound. Took him up, put him in a motel, told the motel owner, you cure him, I'll come back and pay you for that. That is true religion. And all this other stuff is distracting. And it does distract you. And so it takes a really clear-eyed, steady-eyed view of what Jesus said and who Jesus was to disrobe him from all this garbage that we've stuck on him. You know, don't eat, don't drink after midnight, you'll go to hell. That's what we were told in grade school. 1 ounce of hamburger on a Friday is allowed. 2 ounces and you're hell-bent. And I'm not making that up. That's my moral theology text. Think about it. And you want to wonder why priests are so weird and so caught up in trivialities. I know several such men. I don't know many priests in the London diocese, but I know that applies to a fair number. My God, what has happened to us? What has happened to the church? That's why Francis is a near miracle. What was Ratzinger's insistence? The law! Orthodoxy! Francis has gone on record saying it doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or atheist. He said that. I don't believe that many of the bishops believed it. Because once they're out of his aura, you know, the magic is gone. The magic. So, I enter my twilight years. I'm haunted by this. I think I can reasonably say that in the confessional, I was merciful. By some fluke. I think I've treated people generally with a fair amount of respect and dignity, allowing them the freedom to be themselves. The thing that Francis keeps insisting on. You know? And which we so rarely embody. In grade school, if you went into a Protestant church, you're going to hell. Just go in the bloody door. A Jewish friend of mine invited me to Chicago for her brother's bar mitzvah. So, she was a good friend, so I went. And then, you go into the temple, and they stick a prayer shawl. I thought it was some poisonous thing that's going to kill me. Then they stick a yarmulke on your head. I'm ashamed to this day, and I was in university. Early university, at least. I went running out of that synagogue in terror in the middle of the bar mitzvah. What have I done? Think about it. So, yeah. I mean, the gospel's been used as a waxen nose for all kinds of stuff. And the fundamentalist problems, of course, is they have forgotten this passage from Mark and Luke and John and Matthew and insist on their narrow gauge view of what orthodoxy is. Listen to Mike Huckabee and that great Catholic senator, former senator from Pennsylvania, with the funny nose. I can't remember his name. They're very orthodox. And yet Francis is ready to admit divorce and remarried Catholics back to communion. As he says over and over, communion is not a reward for good behavior. It's what the early fathers of the church called the medicine of the soul. So you don't get it because you deserve it. It's because you need it as a curative for yourself. And I strongly suspect that poor Polish Monsignor in the Vatican, who made the mistake of announcing publicly that he was homosexual and had a partner, fired on the spot. I keep wondering what it would be like if Jesus went into a gay bar. Think about that. That's a really good thought experiment. Jesus walking into, oh my God, the devil's here. No. Can you imagine that? That's rubbish. It's destructive rubbish, too. It distorts, it misshapes any religious impulse we might have. So, yeah, there's plenty to think about, to worry about in this, and to understand. Because there are so many wackos in the church, because they've been brought up on a law and order diet. You know, and they failed to hear the authentic voice of Jesus.